thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Lots of big thoughts.
Here's John Williams.
Lots of big thoughts over the weekend. In fact, I'm exhausted from thinking big thoughts over the weekend. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be here today until 3. We're here Saturdays from 10 to noon. And remember, on all social media, find us as WGN King John. I'm WGN King John on all social media. And one last plug for us. Remember, the Mincing Rascals was judged this year to be the very best podcast from the city of Chicago. You can always listen to, for free, The Mincing Rascals.
My weekends should be more relaxing, but this weekend was stressful. Refs were making bad calls in the football games. The government's been shut down for over 4 weeks, and there was unrest at a big rally.
That's a clear case of politosis, high anxiety from too much political talk.
Plus, a lot of us are doing Dry January where we don't drink alcohol. Can you imagine a worse time to not drink alcohol?
Well, that's not exactly the...
I have an important announcement to make. Wet February.
That's probably not...
Tell CNN to change that countdown clock to T-minus how many days to wet February? Because this girl needs a drink.
Or maybe you need some Eurylium Life 9000.
If that's not a vodka, go away.
Eurylium Life 9000 is an all-natural wonder drug made by an ethnically blended group of scientists wearing white lab coats in New Jersey.
Will it make me less tense?
It will.
Because right now, I'm even ticked at a razor blade company.
Then try Eurylium Life 9000 as a pill, tablet, liquid, gel cap, nasal mist, eye drop, ear burst, time-release arm patch, ointment, suppository, or try our fun new home epidural kit.
You didn't say shots, pints, 16-ounce tall boys, or Boilermakers, did you?
Ask your doctor if Eurylium Life 9000 is right for you.
I will. I'll ask my bartender, too. He's dreamy.
Always follow label instructions. Don't take Eurylium Life 9000 if you're pregnant, operating heavy machinery, or plan on getting pregnant while operating heavy machinery.
Okay, this took about a minute. Is it February yet?
Once again, Eurylium Life 9000 is not a vodka. It's a medication you take, which you take when you are suffering from anxiety because you've been watching or following too closely the news, particularly political talk. She's right. This is a bad time to be dry. For those of you who are drinking or drinking less, you picked the hardest month ever. Lots of sporting events, not much to do. You're indoors, it's cold, and then the world's just falling all around you, and you think, I could use a cup of tea? So good luck to you. The T-minus wet February countdown is 9 days and some hours. So you got that going for you. I've heard about Dry January before, but they say this year it's actually impacting poor bars. It's actually impacting some businesses. There are two stories from this weekend, and neither of them were about the NFL games over the weekend. We'll be getting to that in just a minute. Our news click is asking you if the NFL needs to change its overtime rules. The correct answer is yes. There are two stories from this weekend, each today, Monday, bearing this truth. Don't rush to judgment. Do not jump to conclusions. Even now, as some of the dust is settling, we may discover that we still don't know the whole story. I'm talking about BuzzFeed's reporting over the weekend by two outstanding journalists that Michael Cohen was instructed to lie to Congress by President Trump. Remarkably, after a full day of end zone dancing by liberals, the Mueller committee said that that report is not accurate. Notably, BuzzFeed is today standing by its original story and is anxious to hear what Mueller meant by not accurate. Some of their BuzzFeed report, all of it. My advice today to conservatives and to all of us is to withhold those gotchas, lest this story take yet another turn. Same for the Covington Catholic boys. Video over the weekend showed a group of high school kids from the Cincinnati area at the Rally for Life in Washington, D.C., many of them were wearing the president's trademark MAGA hats, and they are shown cheering and jeering, standing around a Native American and Vietnam veteran named Nathan Phillips. Phillips was in the Capitol to honor Native veterans, and when his presence intersected with theirs, they took to mocking him, or so it seemed. Reporting today suggests that at the same time those groups were there, a third group of Black Hebrew Israelites, and I'll forgive you right now if you're doing a MAGA kid, Indian veteran, and Black Hebrew Israelite walk into a bar joke, but this third group shows up. The blacks were taunting the Native Americans, and then the white kids, who themselves then took to drowning out the hate speech with school chants and then a chorus of the American Indian song. They said they weren't mocking the Native Americans, they were supporting them. You are forgiven if you got this one wrong. Even the administration at Covington Catholic said they were considering expelling the students. And the smug smile heard round the world, the image of one of the MAGA-hatted kids smiling point-blank at Mr. Phillips is still fresh and maybe still relevant here. But the moral of the story today is to wait before you decide. Wait before you tweet or load your heart with glee or hate or gleeful hate. Just hit pause for a minute. Because you just don't know how these stories are going to go. In fact, you still don't know how they're going to go. And I found, having made up my mind about that kid from Cincinnati in Washington, D.C., with that smirk on his face, I have found it difficult for me to unload the feelings I have about him and that group and those kids. Maybe I didn't have the full picture. I still think there's a modicum of truth to what I was feeling, but I think I was feeling it based on something that wasn't entirely accurate. It's funny because over the weekend, a lot of the people that were commenting about the Covington Catholic High School kids began their tweets and their posts and their comments with, as a Catholic, comma. And I said to some of them, this doesn't have anything to do with you being a Catholic or the Catholic Church. I did not look at that story through a filter of what does this mean to Catholicism or the Catholic Church. I suppose that would have been a sort of residual effect, but I just looked at the hat. I just saw that hat as something that empowers people to do things they would not or should not otherwise do. I just saw the hat. That's what that was about. And if you're going to go to that rally, which is about supporting life born and unborn, as they said, I'm not sure that you have to have that hat there because it just provokes people. You should know that. If you're the adults, even if that's your agenda and their agenda, use that hat wisely. And I don't think in that circumstance it looked that smart. So when I saw those videos, I just saw the hat and that smile on that kid's face. But now, I don't know what that kid's motivation was, what was really going through his heart. His comments today are coming through a PR firm, so I'm not too interested in their spin. I know what I saw. But that group of kids that were jumping up and down and chanting, I'm told today, I wasn't there, were celebrating their sort of victory over the Black Hebrew Israelites, whatever that is, who were mocking and taunting everybody else. So they drowned them out, and that was the celebration, and that was the effort by the kids. But when they started rolling their phones and sharing the video, what you saw was chanting, jeering kids in the face of the Native American. And that's not the full story. Tomorrow, we may have a completely different interpretation. But at least that's where the story was, and today, in my little old mind, where it is. So hit pause before you decide. And even, you know, so you know that, and I know that, and that's the wisdom of it all. But then you still have that feeling. You still can't. I do not have an off switch. I don't have a 180 button where I go back and reset, and I say, okay, I don't have any of those ill feelings. I'm not defensive about the BuzzFeed story, because I am. Or I'm not angry at those kids because I still am. And I think if I had to go back and do it all over again, if I were preloaded with these facts, I today would be, first of all, my digestion would be going better, but also I would probably feel better. I would be better. That's easier said than done, isn't it? Oh, one word of advice to Americans everywhere who were hit with snow over the weekend. This is just my refrain when it snows a lot. I know you use your backyard or your garage in the back or the side. You don't go out your front door. You don't always use your sidewalk. but you should still shovel your sidewalk. I saw so many people today who were navigating wobbly sidewalks, sidewalks filled with ice and frozen snow that's all been tamped down, and it's hard to walk on it because nobody came by and shoveled it. We had ample opportunity this weekend, but now it's kind of freezing and it's hard and it's going to melt and it's just a mess. Get out there and shovel it. Find $5. Hire a kid. I say this every time, and I'm going to keep saying it until it works. Did you have trouble walking to the L stop today?
No, actually, I didn't. But my path has been pretty well cleared.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Does your building do a good job of clearing out in front?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, mine eventually gets it done, but then two buildings down, they don't at all. So I shovel their walks. You know, this is my, we've had this conversation too many times, but I do, not so much as a consideration for them as I still need to walk that path. So I'll go ahead and shovel it. It's also good cardio, as long as you don't kill yourself in the process.
As long as you don't have a heart attack.
Our news click over the weekend, former officer Jason Van Dyke's 81-month sentence was too harsh, appropriate, or insufficient. And 60% of you said that the 81 months that Van Dyke got was right. 60% said that was right. 35% said it wasn't enough. And 5% said it was too harsh. I was in the appropriate category.
6 years?
I know. So you're in the insufficient category. You're with the other third.
Yeah, I was speechless, actually, when it came out.
I was speechless with the officers who were found not guilty at all. That's the one that took my breath away. Our conversation and the Mincing Rascals podcast is about that. The Mincing Rascals talk about that over the weekend. Today's news click is this. Should the NFL change its overtime rules? You have two options. Yes, both teams should get the ball. Or B, nope, play better defense. This works. That is, the way they've got it set up is sufficient. It is not. It is not. You know, John was in here doing the business report for Steve Bertrand a minute ago, and he said something very clever off the air that I'll steal from him now on the air. He said, well, like we both know the rules, right? Like if you don't want to play overtime and risk losing in overtime, never having touched the ball, play better defense, either in regulation or in overtime, and you can still win. But as John pointed out, this is an offensive-minded league. The plays, the schemes, the whole game has done so much more. The officiating, the penalty calling. We've done so much more to protect the passers and the wide receivers. And to go deep in the playoffs, you've got to have a great quarterback. They all do. That overtime favors the team with the ball first because it's an offensive-minded league. It's not a defensive-minded league. He put it better than that, but I think that's a germane point here. I just think it's a shame. I just think it's a shame that you take two of the best teams in the league, right? You were down to four this weekend, and there were two great teams with two great quarterbacks. It was very entertaining. And then they say, okay, the score is tied. Now let's decide who gets to move on to the Super Bowl. Let's give New England the ball. And if they score a touchdown, the game is over. Mahomes never got on the field in overtime. Kansas City never got to touch the ball. How is that a good resolution? And to those of you who say, well, those are the rules, that doesn't make them right. That doesn't make them the best version of the game. Come up with a better version of the game.
And the refs did miss that pass interference call.
They missed all kinds of calls. I mean, I was actually started to take notes last night in the second game. Just there was a pass interference call. There was a roughing the passer call that wasn't roughing the passer. It just went on. You think about it. These guys are really big. They're really fast. And they're playing on a field 100 yards long, right? So there's a lot of ground for even the crew that they have with as many officials as they do an instant replay. It becomes unwieldy. It becomes difficult to do.
I want to know how someone didn't throw the red flag on that pass interference call to get the replay. Because it's like there is subtle pass interference. Then there is far less subtle, more like, hi, I'm in your face. Yeah. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Interference. And that was, okay, The official missed the call. Well, why didn't the head coach for Kansas City throw the red flag?
I think also in if the official on the field, the guy standing there shivering, looking into the camera hood, if that's the guy that's actually making up his mind based on the evidence he's watching there.
He's not.
He's not good.
No.
Because that is not a good environment to make that decision.
That's tied to New York, where the head, the supervisor, I think, of officials, but they're also involved in that. So it's not left to the referee on the field.
I'm glad to hear that. I would like them to cut away to video of those guys. I don't know why. I just like to see the process. For one thing, because it seems so much easier for us at home to see it. I don't know what they're doing. Are they watching the Cartoon Network as well? You're like, hey, guys, hey, click over. No, Channel 4. Because I'm like, what are you guys doing in there? Let's go. And it's not good for the game. It's not good for the game.
They have more camera angles than we can see viewers.
So maybe they're looking at all of them, but I think sometimes a single view is conclusive. You see that the ball never did touch the ground, or the ball absolutely did touch the ground, and you don't need to look at it 10 different ways. Make the call. Anyway, we got lots of calls here. We'll start with Nick. You're on WGN. Nick, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, John, how are you? You know, New England benefited from the same thing in the Super Bowl when they got the ball against Atlanta, marched down, and everybody was screaming about changing it then. You know, so, I mean, give credit to New England, although I hate them, but once they get their hands on the ball, they just march down the field and methodical, and you know, it's tough to beat. Now, as far as the referees, they see all the angles that we see. There's no difference. You know, it's what they get out of the TV truck is what they see and what they judge it on. And I just saw some incredibly stupid calls. You know, some catches that were no catches, and my God, I'm sitting there screaming. I'm watching by myself, and I'm saying, just, you know, give me a mic. You know, let me decide, because I'm looking at it, and I'm, you know, it's just unbelievable. We all see it, and they somehow miss it all. It's incredible.
Would you change the rule then in overtime?
I think you have to, because there's just so much, you know, angst. I mean, you play your butt off. You know, look at Kansas City. They come back. You know, give them a shot. I don't see, you know, they do it. You know, if you hit a field goal, the other team's got to hit a field goal. And I understand, okay, a touchdown's a harder thing to do, but, you know, I just don't see how you judge a game coming down to that and then just saying, okay, the first team to, you know, score a touchdown, you know, if you score a touchdown, wins. Give Kansas City a shot.
And if Kansas City comes back then in overtime after New England scores a touchdown,
then a field goal wins it. Right?
Suppose Kansas City comes back in overtime and they score the touchdown, so on the first two possessions in OT, each team has scored 7 points. Then what do you do? I don't know. Figure that out. But
then the next guy to score. I mean, then the field goal wins it. You know what I mean? Okay, yeah. New England scores a touchdown. KC scores a touchdown. Next points win it. I mean, you kill yourself.
I would do that.
You kill yourself to get all to that point. And going back to that Super Bowl, John, I mean, everybody was saying, look at this, you know, incredible game, and it's just, you know, it basically comes down to the coin flip, you know, and should it be that way? Did you see when New England got the coin flip? Heads, you know, they were so sure they were going to go down and score, and they did.
We better find out that. I want to see that coin. I want to make sure that there was tails on that thing.
I hate those guys, but I guess I don't know. Maybe it's like the way the people hated the Bulls, John. You know, I mean, after six of them, they just got tired of. We loved it. Yeah. We loved it. Everybody else hated it. So
yeah.
I can understand it, but. You got to respect. I mean, every time no name players, guys off the street, they manage to get them to play, and you know they're in the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, they're doing something right, aren't they? Hey, Nick, nice to talk to you. Thanks for the phone call. I'm glad you're able to join us today. Lots of calls and lots of texts about this. Lots of calls and lots of texts about the Covington Catholic kids. We've got a lot of ground to cover today. We haven't even gotten to Jimmy Buffett's national anthem. Stay tuned. John Williams, among the texts that have poured in, John, I shovel my mother's sidewalk in Rockford. The plow then buries it. Not my problem anymore. Well, no, but it's your mom's problem now. I get it. I don't like that either, but tell that to your mom. I get
that. Yeah, cold.
I know. It's like if that was your house, or I don't know how that makes you feel better in Rockford. You shoveled your mom's walkway. You're a good son. Here comes the plow. Now your mom can't get out, or she walks in peril. Not my problem, Mom. It's the call of the city. A complete stranger could render that much assistance. This one from 815 said, John, I'll say it again. I'm a dog walker. Shovel your sidewalks.
I saw some dog footprints in the snow yesterday, and I felt so bad for the dogs. I thought, why don't they all have boots?
LF dogs don't need boots.
But they don't get cold? I don't know a lot about dogs.
I don't either, but I don't think they do. I mean, they're dogs.
Well, they have padding on their feet like we have skin on our feet.
Yeah, I think their padding is thicker. Unless it's like crazy, icy, slushy, cold, penetrating stuff. You don't live that far from me. Have you been over to the dog beach on Lake Michigan where it's brisk and cold and the dogs are still running into the water?
Oh, I haven't seen a dog go, oh, jeez, boy, not me.
No, the dogs are just like nuts. In fact, I don't exactly understand that. I see the dogs frolicking in Lake Michigan as their owners throw balls into there and sticks and stuff, and the dogs don't seem to even notice. Now, I've seen some of those people in my neighborhood, nicely attired dog footies on their dogs, which looks to me like it takes about an hour and a half to get on, you know. And then the dog runs out, and I think the whole time the dog's thinking, you know what, I can pee without the footies. We can get in and out. We don't have to do this. Every now and then my dogs have or would start to lift up their paws because snow and ice gets caught in between the little paws, you know. It gets caught in there. So I guess for that reason you would want to get them some little shoes.
And also because of the salt, right?
Oh, there you go. Maybe that, huh, Pam?
Yes, I think it's, for a lot of people, it's the salt, because the salt can really eat away at the foot pads and make them very painful and cracked. You know how our hands get cracked and dry in the wintertime and bleed? That can happen to our poor pooches and our cats as well.
Well, what happened, like, I think this measure of care that we bring to pets is a phenomenon that's not 50 years old, right? Like, you go to pet stores now, Petco and wherever those places are, and they have all of this stuff. And I'm thinking none of this stuff was there 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Like the coats?
The coats and the hats and the footies and the, just the stuff, the entertainment, nutritional, and just general care stuff for pets. Dogs have been around for a long time, right? It's amazing the species survived. I think they've sort of grown to a point where they wouldn't be here if they were going to suffer this much.
That's true.
If human beings lived outside, if we hadn't developed, I don't know, houses, we'd probably have thick paws or something, too. We'd be fine. But we're not, because we're indoors. But dogs, they're wolves. A wolf doesn't look that much different than a dog or a coyote. How do you think a coyote's getting
on? Okay, I don't feel bad anymore.
Why am I mad at you about this? Sorry, my bad. I'm mad at everybody today. Brian wanted to say something. You're on WGN Radio. Hey, Brian.
Yes.
You're on the air. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted two things. One, I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I did live in Hanover Park for about 10 years. But in Madison, if you don't shovel your sidewalk within 48 hours, you get a $100 fine.
Really? Yeah. I don't know. Some of the towns around here have rules like that. I just don't think anybody's ever gotten a ticket for it. You know, it's a good idea, but I don't think there's much enforcement, you know.
And the other thing with dogs and coats, I love my dog, but I think he would be embarrassed for me to coat.
That's so funny.
Brenda has a pink tutu that Daisy wears sometimes. It's not a leash or a collar. It's not a collar. It's like a harness that goes around the body, you know. And then it has a little pink skirt that blossoms out at the back end.
Does Daisy like it?
Well, her name's Daisy. But you know who's not crazy about it? This guy, okay? Because I'm at the other end of the leash or stroller or whatever we are pushing the dog around in.
I had one dog that when all the snow melted, there would be a pile of snow by the driveway because of shoveling. Yeah. And she would lay on that with her bare tummy and
exactly.
just love it.
Exactly. Yeah. They're fine. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling, Brian.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good day. That's a dog musher on line two. Has a comment on dog footies. I think I know how this call's going to go. I mean, this is a dog musher. Paxton is the name. Hey, Paxton, it's John. You're on the air. How are you?
Yeah, hi, guys. Good topic there. I wanted to jump in on this. I've run dogs for a long, long time in Colorado and outside of Alaska. And we used to put, they called them booties. You would put booties on, but the only way to do it, they had to be made out of leather. Otherwise, they would be worn off. And what the dogs would do is they would eat the leather. They would eat the booties. So it was a rule in the Iditarod that you had to do that. And then they, after the first year, they decided, well, this is not going to work. The dogs don't care about that. They have special pads that work just fine. So the booties, not a good thing for dogs.
So the dogs are built well enough. We don't need to add another layer of protection on them, huh?
Yes, evolution has figured that out a long time ago.
I'm glad there's the word. I didn't say it earlier, but really, they've evolved to a point where, that's my point. So only in the last couple of decades, I'm going to guess, few, whatever, pick the number, but only recently in the evolution of the species have we actually taken to managing its well-being like this. They got here because they've evolved. They're okay. They can handle it.
Yes, well put. Yeah, man interferes.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. I'm glad you're so mushing, huh? Not much of that to do in the Chicago area, eh?
You'd be surprised. There's an Iditarod musher that lives outside of Kankakee. You know, he used to be. You'd be surprised where they come from. Oftentimes they rent a team because they can't train enough, but they rent one, and they're very good mushers, and then they get involved.
I guess that was my point. You can't practice much around here. You got to go north, but mushing. Yeah, fun. Thanks for the phone call.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Paxton, I appreciate you listening. Tomorrow, the Oscar nominations are announced. Be a big day at my house. We go to a lot of movies. My son's very into this. My wife cares a lot. We pretty much make a point to watch the Oscars, and we've almost always seen almost all of the films. I was talking the other day about a movie that I saw that I really liked, and I'm looking for the text now, and I don't have it, but somebody went and saw the movie, and they said, wow, was that a bad movie?
Which movie was it?
Oh, it was the one that I went to see at the Music Box.
Roma.
Roma. Yeah, the guy said, he said, I've been going to movies for years, and I could not get out of the theater fast enough. And it's not because it was in subtitles. It was just boring. And I'll say this, if you're thinking about going to see Roma, about a Spanish maid in the 1970s who tends to a family in Mexico, and it's about her life. There's not a lot more going on. I mean, it's about her life, and it's a beautiful movie, and there are tense moments, but that's kind of it, right? Be patient. Don't expect, you know, a bank robbery or something crazy to happen. Just watch the movie, let it flow. It's in black and white. It's subtitled. It's Spanish. But it's a good movie. Or not, said one of our listeners. Jim, you're on WGN. What did you want to say, Jim? You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Talk to me.
You know, when you were talking about its evolution, you got to understand, dogs over the last couple, 300 years or 150 years, they've been bred for specific looks and uses. You know, when you got like a dog, like a husky or a malamute, you know, that's what they were bred for. They were bred for the work they're doing, okay? But you cannot compare like a husky to a chihuahua.
Yep, yep.
You know? You put a chihuahua out in the snow, and you're going to have a frozen dog in no time. And what you know, my vet told me, it's cool, I walk my dog at least 3 miles a day. I try to. And my vet told me, when it gets down 20 or less, cut your walks down, keep an eye on her. If she starts lifting her feet, get her back in. And as far as the salt goes, I use baby wipes when I get in the house. I got a pretty good sized dog. She's like 70 pounds. I wipe her paws.
Yeah.
And then I just just a little touch of baby oil on them, you know? Because if you put too much on there, they skate across the tile.
Yeah.
That's
interesting. I'm looking at some texts too, and some of them are making the points you are making. I'm going to hang up, but I appreciate your phone call. Thank you, Jim. I'm glad you got in. This texter says, "Funny, we don't own our sidewalk to the from our sidewalk to the street, but we still have to shovel it." John, my dog's feet were freezing this morning on our walk, and she's a border collie. 773 said, John, dogs do need boots. They protect their feet from the salt. And I've been sitting here wondering what Steve Dale says about this. And 630 said, Steve Dale says dogs need boots to protect against caustic ice. We don't have dogs, but we spend more for the pet-friendly salt to protect them. John, those paw prints were probably coyotes that somebody saw. John, you feel bad for dogs. I feel bad for the owners who have to carry their bag of poop around in their hand. I used to think that, too, when I saw people doing that. And then it's like a kid. You get your own, and suddenly it's manageable. John, I deliver dialysis supplies, residential, and the sidewalks are not shoveled. And it's a nightmare for me, says Dave. Let's talk to... let's see here, Jim. You're on WGN. Jim, you're on the air. What's up?
John, how are you today?
Good. Talk to me. What's on your mind?
So I think I agree with you with this whole phenomenon starting, 20, 30 years ago. And I think it's all because of the Kim Kardashians and the Paris Hiltons taking these little dogs and putting jewelry and earrings and putting them in duffel bags and carrying them around. Now the whole accessorization thing is exploding to the point where it's out of control.
I just pictured a dog getting its ears pierced.
It's an industry.
Seriously.
It's an industry.
Everything.
In my neighborhood, I see dogs that are better cared for than some people I know, I got to tell you.
Well, and if you think, my wife was a flight attendant, and she was telling a story the other day that somebody came on with a dog for personal reasons, whatever they need, and the dog had to have a monkey to calm it down. So the person came on with two animals on the plane because people are taking this whole emotional support animal thing. And people are bankrolling it because they know people will pay for their crazy animals.
So the person had a support animal, and the support animal had a support animal. It would seem to me like the middle support animal wasn't a very good support animal then, if it needs a support animal. Let's all just vote now.
I think the two animals could have done better without the human being.
Thanks for the call.
There's nothing like taking a peacock on an airplane with you, though.
A support peacock? Have you seen one of those before?
It happened last year.
What?
Someone tried to bring a peacock on the plane.
I think you get to have, when I get to be king and I'll be in charge of this, you can have a support cat, you can have a support dog, and that's all. You don't get to have a support monkey or pig or peacock or hamster. I'm sorry. Snake. What if a snake makes you more comfortable? Everybody else is uncomfortable now. Don't bring that on the airplane.
Yeah. What's the peacock for? I don't understand.
I think it's because that peacock may actually bring that person some measure of comfort. I think there's a little show-offness going on there, too.
But yeah.
Whatever. That's your thing. You love your peacock loves you. I don't have any problems with that. You just can't fly on my airplane. That's my point. It's 151. This is WGN. Eye doctors offering free eye exams for NFL referees in the New Orleans area. Thank you, David. More about that in a minute.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have
to. Lots of them.
Here's John Williams.
Nothing but big thoughts this weekend. How are you? Our news click is about one of them. It's the NFL officials. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate.
Lord have mercy.
Skyline Studio will be here till 3. Saturdays, we're on from 10 to noon. This Saturday, we'll be at Sox Fest. Hey, come to Sox Fest. We're going to broadcast our 10 a.m. show Saturday from Sox Fest. Remember that we also have from this show, Steve Bertrand's not here today, but Steve and I and Justin Kaufman and Patty Vasquez and some of our friends from the Tribune, we produce each week a podcast called The Mincing Rascals. It's been judged the best podcast in the city of Chicago. Also on social media, search for me as WGN King John. WGN King John on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. On Facebook, I posted my opening monologue, which said about two big stories this weekend. One of them, the Covington Catholic boys, wait before you judge, wait before you tweet. Wait before you hate. Wait before you fill your heart with glee. Just wait. And that monologue, if you will, and your thoughts about it are on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John. Speaking of politics...
My weekends should be more relaxing, but this weekend was stressful. Refs were making bad calls in the football games. The government's been shut down for over 4 weeks, and there was unrest at a big rally.
That's a clear case of politosis, high anxiety from too much political talk.
Plus, a lot of us are doing dry January where we don't drink alcohol. Can you imagine a worse time to not drink alcohol?
Well, that's not exactly the...
I have an important announcement to make. Wet February.
That's probably not...
Tell CNN to change that countdown clock to T-minus how many days to wet February, because this girl needs a drink.
Or maybe you need some Eurylium Life 9000.
If that's not a vodka, go away.
Eurylium Life 9000 is an all-natural wonder drug made by an ethnically blended group of scientists wearing white lab coats. In New Jersey.
Will it make me less tense?
It will.
Because right now, I'm even ticked at a razor blade company.
Then try Eurylium Life 9000 as a pill, tablet, liquid, gel cap, nasal mist, eye drop, ear burst, time release arm patch, ointment, suppository, or try our fun new home epidural kit.
You didn't say shots, pints, 16-ounce tall boys, or Boilermakers, did you?
Ask your doctor if Eurylium Life 9000 is right for you.
I will. I'll ask my bartender, too. He's dreamy.
Always follow label instructions. Don't take Eurylium Life 9000 if you're pregnant, operating heavy machinery, or plan on getting pregnant while operating heavy machinery.
Okay, this took about a minute. Is it February yet?
Eurylium Life 9000 is not a vodka. Hang in there. They haven't turned the clock back, but it's the, what is today, the 21st. So you got 9 days and so many hours before dry February begins. Good luck to you all on that.
You mean wet February.
Wet February. Wet February. It's been dry enough as it is. The news click at WGNradio.com today says, should the NFL change its overtime rules? We, as they say, don't have a dog in this hunt. What with the Bears missing that kick and all. But should the NFL change its overtime rules? Yes, both teams should get the ball. Or B, nope, if you play better defense, it won't matter. This works. The correct answer is A, both teams should get the ball. Let's go to the sports department. Here's Kevin Powell.
I agree. I think it would be mostly just because it would be more fun to watch, to see both teams get an opportunity, whether you do this just in the playoffs or all the time. I do think everybody should have a chance to get the ball.
And the conference championship games were so... And by the
unbelievable.
Way, you know, there's two things that we were reminded of this weekend. It's a game played by human beings, and by that I mean officiated by human beings. And sometimes, even with 1,000 cameras and replay, they'll get stuff wrong. They'll miss stuff. Also, the rules conspire against getting it right, because if there's no flag, then you can't challenge a play that didn't happen. If, say, there's pass interference, but they don't call it, you've got nothing to challenge. So you got that going against you. And it's not just a game, right? Like you say, all right, whatever. But when you consider that this is a multi-billion dollar industry, if I was one of the team owners, if I was one of the industry heads, it would really tick me off that things can be this wrong about my business. Imagine if you're an accounting firm or a welding supply company. I don't know. If somehow or another you did everything right and yet you failed because the rules worked against you, I think you would want those rules amended.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. We also watch every kick go right through the middle of the field goal post. That was painful, yes. Every kick was right down the pipe.
So easy. You go, oh, that's an idea. Kick it in the middle.
I really am trying to move on from this, but you're watching these games and you're thinking to yourself, the Bears could be here and the Bears could play with any of these teams. They've shown they can. They beat the Rams this year. They embarrassed the Rams at home, but I don't want to dwell on the parky thing. When it comes to the
oh,
rules.
Yes, you do.
I know
yes,
I
you
do.
Do.
I know,
totally
I do.
Do. And let's just dwell on it for one more second because I was wondering what it was like for the fans of those four teams when their guys were lining up for a kick or a field goal. I thought, are they going like this? Because I am, and I'm not even on the field. It's not even my team.
Yeah.
But that's the way it was for us, and of course, it proved to be fatal. But for them, it's just like, well, you just get a guy out there, He just lines up and he does that thing with his hand and he closes one eye and he kind of connoiters it. He goes, all right, there's one post, there's the other post, right, left, right, left, middle. Right. Okay, and then he just does it. Right. Boom!
What you want to do here is kick the ball between the posts. Do not hit the post. That is not the objective here.
Didn't even come close.
So, yesterday was wild. I understand everybody's talking about a lot of the penalties. The call everyone's talking about, of course, is that late no pass interference call on the Saints-Rams game. That's what everybody's talking about. But a couple things here. Watching the Saints play calling on that sequence there, they throw the ball on first down with under 2 minutes to play, and it's an incomplete pass. The Rams only had to burn one timeout. They get the ball back with the timeout with plenty of time. The Saints could have just ran the ball three times and kicked the field goal and won the game.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're doing passing the ball. So I didn't really feel as bad for the Saints as everybody else does today after that horrible call. The call that I think was the most atrocious, and I think it was actually worse than that non-PI call, was late in that game, in the AFC game. The Chiefs get called for a roughing the passer call on Tom Brady, and it is a defender hitting Tom Brady in the shoulder with his hand, and that is it.
And that was a,
and
call
that was a third down.
And that was a call made by an official who was behind. He could. I mean,
it's
what
one
happened?
Of the worst calls I've ever seen in my entire life.
He had no angle. It was impossible for the official, even if he got it right, to get it right because he couldn't see. He was behind that play.
Don't make the call if you don't have a vantage on it. Do not make that call.
So you're right. And by the way, New England happened to win that game.
Right.
I don't know if you know that, but it's been in the papers. So New England won that game.
Look, the thing with the Patriots, I know a lot of people hate them because they continue to win. Ninth Super Bowl they're going to in the last 18 years.
In the last 8 years, I think. Nine in the last eight. It's very difficult. Only they could pull that off.
Right. I just respect the hell out of what they've done.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's sustained success.
That's a given.
Think about the Bears season, John. Think about how many things went their way. Think of how special of a season it was for the Bears, and they still got bounced in the first round. No pun intended. They still get bounced in the first round. And the
Doinked in the first round.
They doinked in the first round. The Patriots somehow continue to find a way.
Well, that's because they cheat.
They cheat, that's right, yeah. I just respect
that's what
all
of us sort of lose. No, it's the Bulls when they had Michael Jordan.
Right,
it's the Yankees when they had Babe Ruth. I mean, somebody said that this weekend as well. We know you don't like it, but you'll 50 years from now be able to say, I was
watched
alive.
I'll call it the greatest sports dynasty ever. I'll go that far.
John,
better
the
than
NFL,
the 90s Bulls, any of that.
This texter says the NFL should use college overtime rules. Both teams get the ball at the 40 or something.
Yeah,
like
some
that.
People don't like that because it takes some of the special teams out of the game. It's really no punting or anything like that.
Do you like the way they organize overtime now?
It's better than it used to be, where basically you just had to get in field goal range, you kick a field goal, and you win. The touchdown, you know, you don't win unless you score
a
touchdown.
Would you change it, though? Or would you?
I think there should be some changes.
Should both teams get a touch?
I think so.
Thank you.
I think so. I'm with you there.
We can't be friends if you don't agree with me on that one because it's just so fundamental. It's an offensive game, and it's fun. It would be more fun. And I think that one of the reasons you don't, for instance, in baseball, you could play 1,000 innings, and that's part of the drama. Tennis, you'll play 1,000 extra games to get through that set. So that and there have been some epic matches that have gone on for days. In football, you've got guys that weigh 300 pounds, running 20 miles an hour, crashing into each other over and over again. And you can't ask them to do that forever.
Right.
So that's bad.
That's
fatigue
part of it.
And injury are part of it. But this is not the solution. This is not the solution. It's not good.
Yeah. From what I'm taking away from yesterday, I wouldn't say the overtime changes are top of mind for me. But I hear you. Look, Tom Brady takes the ball down, 13-play, 75-yard drive. He kind of... Got to respect that. You know what I mean? It's not like it was some fluke play. It wasn't some huge pass interference call that gave them a huge chunk of yards that put them in field goal range. Brady systematically picked apart the Chiefs on that final drive. When they went to overtime, I said, Tom Brady's not losing this.
Brian came into my office today and he said, okay, I'm not a conspiracy guy, which is what conspiracy people say before they unload their conspiracies.
Right,
he says, NFL didn't want Kansas City in this thing. Kansas who?
They
want LA. They want Boston. And I know Kansas City's a very special story this year, but you got people that watch the Super Bowl that don't know anything about the NFL, but they, you know, want to watch a good game, and you get more people to the party if it's the Tom Brady show, if it's a Northeast, if it's a New England team, if it's, you know, one of them. Anybody in flyover land does not matter.
I don't buy into the conspiracy.
That's you got problems later this afternoon.
I'll go talk to Brian.
Because Brian is loaded up on that one. And this texter says the networks got what they wanted. East Coast versus West Coast. John, the fix is on.
The conspiracies are coming in.
John, January has 31 days. Thank you for those of you with your wet February countdown clocks. You got to wait an extra day. Well, I thought I was doing it right. If today's the 21st, that's 10, but it's 9 full days plus hours, isn't it? I don't know.
What a great championship Sunday, though, it was, John. On my menu, since you asked, I had wings, I had meatballs, and I had sausage yesterday.
Very nice.
Yep.
And Saturday was a good day, too, for the sports fans, because there was a lot of college basketball.
Hey, I was thinking of you watching Zion Williamson play.
I watched Duke. I watched the Butler game. I watched all of the DePaul game. Watched the DePaul game twice. And then I watched the Marquette game for my friend Steve Bertrand.
The Zion Williamson, there's a place for Duke. That Duke game was highly entertaining Saturday. The Bulls need to just lose out the rest of the season.
They need
the top overall pick because Zion Williamson is a game changer. It looks like Khalil Mack in a basketball uniform on the court. I mean, the guy is just a monster.
That big throwdown of his over the weekend was with his opposite hand, right?
Yeah. Well, he's a lefty.
Yeah, and he threw down with the right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a dunk that you go, wow, that took a lot of finesse and strength. He did it with his opposite hand.
In the middle of a game.
Yeah, just
that's tough to do, you know, on the side, you know, open court on a Saturday morning.
And the guy he dunked on, 9 feet tall.
Right.
He was a nine-footer, the rare nine-footer. Our news click, by the way, Producer Olive, why don't you look up, we'll take our break here. You may want to be part of the conversation, I hope you do. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Should they change the NFL rule that says in overtime, if you score a touchdown on the first possession, then the other team doesn't get the ball? You may want to comment on the officiating. And how about that Tony Romo? Phil Rosenthal online today. Story has a great headline. And if it doesn't pop into my hand right now, I'm going to paraphrase it. But he said something like Tony Romo probably, here it is. Super Bowl bound CBS analyst Tony Romo probably predicted this column would happen.
Do you like Romo or you think he's annoying?
I didn't know anything special about it. I watched the game and he was predicting the plays that would happen as they would happen seconds before they happened.
Jim, if you're the Patriots right now, you got to split out Rob Gronkowski. And yep, that's what they're doing. As you can see here, Rob Gronkowski's on the top of your screen. And if you're Tom Brady, you got to go to Gronk here. Throws it right to Gronk for a huge pickup.
You don't think that's so special?
I think it's special. I think Romo is incredible. Some people don't like him because it's just, I don't know. I think Romo is great, though.
Right, but if he didn't do a double reverse flea flicker, it was, I'll bet they're going to go to Gronk like all of America didn't know that maybe they're going to throw to Gronk.
That's a good point.
But
also, look for Edelman across the middle here.
No, that was a good one.
And then he hits Edelman across the middle.
I know that. So, Tony Romo, if nobody had a good day in the NFL yesterday, you know, if nobody got it right, Romo consistently did. 312-981-7200 if you want to say hi. This is WGN. 708 says, no, John, not everyone gets a trophy. But 224 said, need to change the rules. Both teams should have a chance to score.
Hey, by the way, John, you see the Bears have another Pro Bowler?
Our quarterback.
Mitch Trubisky replacing Jared Goff, who can't participate, of course, because his Rams are going to the Super Bowl. Trubisky, first Bears quarterback, headed to the Pro Bowl since
Bobby Douglas.
Jim McMahon, 1986.
That's what I was thinking of, actually. McMahon went to the Pro Bowl?
1986, yeah.
I mean, I get it, but really, Jim McMahon was not a great quarterback. He was a great competitor. He was a great football player. He wasn't a great quarterback. Does that distinction make any sense to you?
Yeah, I understand. I'm just happy for Trubisky. I think he, you know, in Chicago, was so difficult on quarterbacks. And
how lucky for him that the Rams quarterback is elected to go to the Super Bowl rather than the Pro Bowl.
Right.
What if he said, yeah, you know, the Pro Bowl. Now that's...
Hopefully next year Trubisky is unable to participate in the Pro Bowl because he's getting ready for the Super Bowl. And honestly, I think they'll be right there in the thick of things, John. Because watching these teams yesterday and really the whole playoffs, you're just thinking to yourself, the Bears could beat these teams. The Bears could beat these teams.
It's funny because when I watch the good NBA teams, and then you watch the Bulls play, you go, the difference is appalling.
I know. It's painful to watch the Bulls right now.
We are so not even close.
I know.
And you see that with at times with any of our franchises where they're just, it's the difference is stark, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bears, I did not feel that way. I go, you know, we could be in a game like this.
No question about it.
At least our defense could. The attorneys at GWC pride themselves on being a preeminent injury law firm from Chicago. Their offices are in Chicago. Their roots and families are in Chicago. Despite what you see and hear in a lot of lawyer advertising, that's not always true. Many of the law firms you see doing commercials in Chicagoland are not even from Illinois. Unless you ask the question and get an honest answer, you'll never know the truth. Many of these lawyers you see on TV and billboards don't even try cases. They want you to settle. They want you to think they're a ferocious lawyer in the courtroom, but they're not. If you're looking for a Chicago trial lawyer to aggressively represent you in your personal injury case, call the trial lawyer firm with 100 employees right here in Chicago, GWC. They are ready to get you the money you deserve, whether by settlement or by trial. Call GWC. 312 and then dial 9. 312-999-9999. Or Justice Starts Today. Visit justicestartstoday.com. Among your texts, tweets, and comments, John, on the bright side, Tony Romo's doing a great job. Can't the overtime be a full 15 minutes? 920 says, overtime rule. Both teams, listen to this, both teams get the ball. First team that scores, the other team has to score within the same amount of time or less. So, if, say, I score a touchdown, you get the ball. What are you going to do if you score a touchdown? But you've got to score it in less than a minute and 47 seconds.
That'd be something.
And I mean, that's,
you would see some wild stuff in the NFL if that happened.
That's kooky, but I mean,
kind of like it.
Everything, overtime rules will always be some derivation of the original. Look what the NHL does now, right? I mean, you know, only golf, it seems, has the luxury of just playing until you get a true winner. So they shift the game around. I'm okay with that.
Change is okay sometimes, John.
Hey, John, the overtime rule in football makes no sense. Would be akin to the Masters golf tournament ending in a tie, and then they do closest to the pin. Yeah, right. I mean, that's fun, by the way, at your drunky golf tournaments. You know, they've got the little thing out there and yeah, somebody in a cart down towards the thing moving the flag. That's fun. That's fun. There's no way to end, you know, the best golfers in the world, though.
We were blessed yesterday, though, John. That was some awesome football.
Fine television.
I didn't miss a single second of those games. I sat on the couch and was glued to the TV.
And I care business in Covington, Louisiana. David Jennings handed me this. David, this isn't your lead story, right?
No.
Is offering free exams for the officials. Quote, we will gladly provide no-cost eye care to all NFL officials prior to next season.
Burn.
To prevent the atrocity that occurred tonight. Louisiana Family Eye Care posted in a brilliant Facebook post. Talk about getting a bump on your social media. Good for them. We would hate for someone else to feel our pain. Another eye center, this one in Texas, is offering free eye exams to all NFL referees in light of the atrocious lack of calls during the New Orleans Saints game. And this is a guy from Texas. We would like to extend free eye exams and glasses to any NFL referee in need. You know who you are, Crystal Vision Center tweeted after the game. It's 2:30. Thanks for your calls, comments, and texts.
Gronk's got a chip. Running back's got a help, so he has time to throw. Once again, Edelman in the middle of the field.
Pocket sealed. Down the middle. Edelman again with a third down catch.
That was somebody getting it right over the weekend. That was America loving Tony Romo's call. Not everybody, Kevin pointed out. Some people find him annoying. And maybe he wasn't all that brilliant in his analysis. But actually, people are saying he was. And he was... he was previewing the plays for you, and then you got to watch them unfold right before your very eyes. He got it right. In a minute, a couple of instances where we all got it wrong over the weekend. We'll talk about that. Before we do that, though, just one other last thing about the football game, and I don't know if anybody noticed this, but I was watching Jimmy Buffett do the national anthem before the Saints game, and that makes sense, but I never thought of Jimmy Buffett as a great singer, and none of the great singers as they got older continue to be great singers. Everything sort of diminishes over time. So the prospect of Jimmy Buffett vocalizing the national anthem is less promising than a younger singer or a younger Jimmy Buffett. I don't know what I just said, except that my hopes weren't high when I saw him. I thought, okay, Jimmy Buffett, huh, right? Like, Jimmy Buffett, I think, Hawaiian shirt, we're all drunk, he's kind of drunk, it doesn't matter. National anthem, it sort of very much focuses on your vocalizing, on your singing. So this is part one of him singing the national anthem.
Blues, broad stripes, and bright stars through the perilous fight.
So he's just marching through it. Not a lot of inspiration, not a lot of vocalese there, but that's okay. It's Jimmy Buffett, and, you know, he's doing his best. Or is he? So this is the thing that troubled people. At the end of the national anthem, at the Saints game, at the end of the national anthem, you know, the crowd kind of cheers, not wildly the way they do sometimes when somebody really nails it. It was no Whitney Houston performance. He wasn't Lady Gaga. But when he got done, he stuck his arm out with the mic, and then not only did a mic drop, kind of did a mic toss. He then threw the microphone down onto the ground and walked away, which was upsetting to some people. Let's get some runs. He should have said that at the end because it just felt like that. And then he just kind of walked off. And I was just scratching my head. I'm like, did you think you sang that song so well that it deserves a mic drop? Or we're all so sensitive these days, I thought. Is there some sort of editorial comment there? I'm sure there's not. So there was the Jimmy Buffett angle to the national anthem over the weekend. The big story over the weekend, though, and there were a couple. I mean, if you had Twitter, this was a weekend for Twitter because you had the weather, you had the football games, you had the basketball games. There's a lot going on there to talk about. You had the government shutdown and the tit for tat with the president and the Democrats on that. Remember on Friday, he offered his compromise and people chatted about that over the weekend. You had the BuzzFeed reporting about Michael Cohen, which was tantalizing and may turn out to be wrong. Mueller said that it was not accurate. BuzzFeed said, yeah, we think it is. So what do you mean, Mr. Mueller? We'll see how that plays out. And that was the point of my post on Facebook today, is just, you know, wait a minute, because stories turn so quickly, you don't exactly know what you saw. You don't know what the truth is. And I'm thinking about those Covington Catholic boys. I wasn't there. But video over the weekend showed a group of high school kids. Their school is in Kentucky. It's just south of Cincinnati. They were at the Rally for Life in Washington, D.C. Many of them were wearing the president's MAGA hats, and they were shown cheering and jeering. They were standing around this Native American and Vietnam veteran guy named Nathan Phillips. Phillips was in the Capitol to honor Native veterans, something he does every year, when his presence intersected with theirs, and then they started mocking him, or at least that's what it looked like. The reports today suggest that at the same time that they were there, the students and Mr. Phillips and his guys, there was a third group, Black Hebrew Israelites. And so now you had all three of them in the same place at the same time. And the stories I'm hearing are that the black group was taunting the Native Americans and then the white kids. So the white kids then started to drown out the hate speech of the black group with school chants and then a chorus of the American Indian song. They were actually not mocking the Native Indians. They were supporting them by doing the ho, 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 ho along with them. You will be forgiven if you got this one wrong. Even the administration at Covington Catholic said that they were considering expelling the students. But credible sources are now saying, with a little more video, that it wasn't as one-sided as it first looked. Still, that smug smile, the image of one of the MAGA-hatted kids smiling point-blank at Mr. Phillips, is still fresh in my mind, and I think that look by that kid may still be relevant here, but maybe it's not as simple as it appeared at first blush. We got a lot of texters about that. I don't know where your head is on that story today, but my number is 312-981-7200. This texter said, don't try and play devil's advocate for that, John. The racism was appalling. 815 said, watch the whole video. Those kids did absolutely nothing wrong. That's where we are. That's where we are on this story. John, so the kid does not have a right to free speech? 630 says, John, you know damn well the white kids were mocking the Indian. They were doing the tomahawk chant. Oh, that's so funny. 708 said, John, I just watched the video again. These kids were absolutely, positively making fun of the Native American gentleman. If that was my son, I would kick his butt. I guess they're just a group of very immature, stupid college kids. I think they're very immature, stupid high school kids. What's the matter?
I was just thinking, well, there was no violence there.
I think that was why I was waiting for that to be part of the defense. You know, that kid stood there. He didn't say anything. He didn't push, punch, or shove. He just stood there. And in fact, the statement by the kid, released through a PR firm, said just that. They said that, you know, the young man acted with respect. Poor kid, because you've heard of RBF, but he has some version of that. He has this smug smile on his face. You look at that kid's face, and that is not a warm, welcoming, or accommodating expression. That is a chip-on-his-shoulder expression. It is a mean-spirited face, right? Am I reading too much into
that? No, I think you're right. I think there are a lot of factors that play into that side of this, that perspective, and I don't know him, so I don't want to speak for him.
But I was crestfallen this weekend when I saw that. I thought, oh, this is just so pathetic and so sad. And then there's this other layer, right? The New York Times, CNN, everybody else is saying, well, now, wait a minute, hold on. Here's other reporting. There was this a third group. They instigated some of this. And so now you have this sort of interaction between these three groups that makes any of their intentions kind of hard to decipher. Are you reacting to this group or to that group? Who are you supporting? It's hard to know. It's a three-way dance. But for me, it's just been hard to get that first image and impression out of my head and out of my heart. And I'm trying. John, I shouldn't believe my ears when I heard the kids mocking the Native Americans drum song. They sounded like a bad 1950s Western. That was mocking. 847 says, John, they are not totally innocent. Why would you get in the face of someone like that if not to taunt or intimidate? 219, why are the high school kids wearing MAGA hats and shirts? They're not even old enough to vote. Their parents, perhaps? I think that's the thing that blew this up. It was those hats. The hats. That's what blew it up.
Hey, John, it's Kim in the newsroom. Can I comment about this?
I wish you would.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? Do you remember when you were talking about the kids in Wisconsin that did the Heil Hitler thing in the photo?
Yep.
You know, and people said there was more to this story. It's so similar because there's two sides to every story, and it just reminds me a lot of that same situation.
Remember, and in the case of the kids in Wisconsin, it was they weren't doing a Heil Hitler salute. They were saying, wave to your parents.
Right. That's what they said, right?
I know, and we're all now laughing at that because that doesn't sound real. But they swear to God, and I swear to God, that's what they told us, and you and I weren't there. It's conceivable. Some of you buy it by the photo image. Some of you don't. But it's conceivable that those kids in Wisconsin were waving to the photographer, and he caught them all while their hands were extended. That could happen. Say, hey, mom and dad, hey. That's what they told us to believe.
I can tell you, I will never be waving to my mom and dad like that. Just saying.
Yeah, that's not how, yeah. I've never waved like that. Not how I wave.
I'm analyzing this kid from over the weekend. And do you think that an older person wearing the same smug, the same hat, would be judged the same way?
What are you thinking?
Do you think it's because he's younger, he seems presumptuous or pretentious at that age, that plays into it?
Maybe. I think his race, him being a white kid, doesn't help. I don't think the hat helps. Right. And you would like to see a little respect paid to your elders, especially this Native American elder who has bad teeth and he's doing this old drum and song that's easy to mock. And now here's a kid with everything in the world going for him, and all he does is seem to mock the older guy. On every level, it seems to work against him. But we're being asked to believe, and you and I weren't there, that it was more complicated than we came to believe watching it the first time. I believe this. We're all capable of getting it wrong, right? I mean, it's possible that stuff happens that we don't know. So now, as Kim says, it's sort of like that Wisconsin story. Armed with that, has that changed your view at all? Nick, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hi. Yeah, how you doing, John? Listen, you're standing there, or you're on the radio saying this kid was staring at him with disrespect and evil in his eyes towards this representative of the American Indian. I looked at him and I saw he was standing with all respect. And the news media was saying they were taunting this. I looked up taunting in the dictionary, and it said to speak with disrespect to nobody said anything. What was the taunting?
Taunting was the kids chanting and jeering and singing, and there was disrespect on the face. If you don't see it, then that we have a different interpretation of it, don't we? Thank you for the phone call. Nathan Phillips, wow, the Native American about whom we are speaking, will be on with Ro Khan at 3:20, 35 minutes from now. 35 minutes, Nathan Phillips will be on with Ro. Well, he'll be able to give us the perspective. Bob, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hi, John. I had a couple things. First of all, what difference does it make if they're wearing a MAGA hat or not? Would it be okay if they were wearing a Hillary hat?
Why are they wearing a political hat? Why are they wearing a the president's hat is provocative. You know that, right?
Well, they are there for an anti-abortion thing, right? And who are the anti-abortion people? They're the conservatives.
Do you
Who is the leader of our party right now? It's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So they can wear any hat they want. And this gentleman has a history of this, too. So there's a little bit more to the story. And I think because he's a Native American, he walked up to that kid pounding that drum to drown out what they were saying. So what's the kid supposed to do? Back up? Oh my God, you're a Native American. I have to show you respect. No, if I was there, I would have stood right there and did the same thing. No, you're not going to push me off of my stance because you're going to come up and beat a drum in my face.
Thank you for the call, Bob. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you joined us. This is Lori. You're on WGN. Hi, Lori. You're on the air.
Hi. People were calling in this morning with Bill and Wendy, and there's video out there, and even the Nathan, the American Indian gentleman, said he walked up to that boy and stood there into his face. The boy did not approach him. And the boys asked their escorts so that they could do a school chant so they could
drown out the black guys. Yeah.
And, yeah, exactly. So I think you're missing a big part here that was discussed earlier today. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. I heard that report. And, you know, this it's still hard to reconcile some of this with what you saw there. That's just the yin and the yang of this thing. Nathan Phillips will be on with Ro Khan at 3:20. 3:20 this afternoon. Debbie, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, John. My name is Debbie, and I heard about this yesterday. Made me very upset. I'm a Catholic. Love my faith. I saw this. I said, oh, here's another slam against us. Then it comes out today that it's totally different. I just read this young man, his name I believe is Nick Sandman, he's a junior. He wrote quite a lengthy statement, very well written, which of course people accused him of not authoring, saying somebody else did it, that he couldn't possibly.
Well, I think they did hire a PR firm.
He did explain his facial expression.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's quite lengthy to read, but I just think people ought to. People are just so filled with hate. Very upsetting to me. It's just an unfortunate incident, but perhaps somebody could read his statement and see what this young man thinks.
Okay, thanks for the phone
call. That's all I have to say.
Yep, thank you for the call. You can look it up. I saw the statement, too. In fact, when we were putting together the show today, we tried to get Nathan Phillips on. I'm glad Rose got him coming on. We tried to get a reporter that was an eyewitness and was recording the scene as it took place. But I did not reach out to the PR firm that's handling that kid's case because I just thought if that PR person isn't there, if they're speaking for the kid, I don't need to deal with somebody who's a spin master. I want to talk to the principals involved. Nathan Phillips on with Ro at 3:20. I'm glad to see that. We got to take a break? Yeah. Okay. It's 2:51. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This is WGN. 847 said, I wanted to smack that kid's face. Nathan Phillips is coming on with you.
He is. He's a Native American who was drumming in front of the kid from Cincinnati. There is more detail to this than one picture shows. It's one of the issues that we've had in the modern photographic era, the last 130 years of human life, is that a still picture doesn't necessarily tell the entire story. So
it's so complicated with this third group that was there.
Right, and that was never part of the initial telling of the story, that there was really the confrontation was not between Nathan Phillips and these young men from the school in Ohio. It was a confrontation that was brewing between black kids and white kids, or black, I think adults in some cases, and these kids from the high school.
Yeah.
And it was sort of MAGA versus, and it's left, right. And it's an indication, as I've been listening to you and I've listened to your callers, it's very easy to everybody just wants to hold their ground. The one guy who called a few minutes ago was like, you know, no one's gonna push me off my position just because they're banging a drum in my face. That's really not what this is about. This is about everybody's staking their position regardless of the fact, and no one's having a conversation or talking or screaming past each other.
I think that this is an instance where, and maybe we don't have to retreat because we're all right, but what if you got it wrong? What if you were wrong about your first, interpretation of this story? I think this is an interesting sort of self-examination point. 708 said, what do you think of this, Ro? If those kids had not been wearing MAGA hats, we wouldn't be talking about this. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. Actually, I think that if this confrontation had happened, I think the hat certainly propelled it. It certainly probably identified for people who were there to figure out where everybody stood. But I think there still might have been this moment.
It's an accelerant. It blows things up.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. John, does the person who felt that the white high school boy had a First Amendment right feel the same way about Colin Kaepernick? That's just what's happening. I mean, all of these things are converging, your right to speech and blah, blah, blah. John, they're high schoolers. They need to respect their elders. He could have moved over. Young kids these days are so smug and arrogant, they have no respect at all. And some of you have said, where were the adults? Why didn't they just diffuse this
situation?
That's
a very good question. I have that question, too. And I'll be interested. I want to go back to when we talked to Nathan Phillips coming up at 3:20. I want to go back to the issue of how did everybody get in that space at the same time.
I know. It's not like they were crowded into a small room. They were outside at the Capitol. They could have... Nathan Phillips could have backed away. This junior from Covington could have backed away. They did not need... If the kid's intention was pure, why was he within like 12 inches of that guy's nose? What was the point of that? Right? Didn't that speak volumes?
Thank you for clarifying that. It's Covington, Kentucky, which is a suburb of Cincinnati.
Yeah, I've been saying Cincinnati area, but it's just south of the city.
Right.
Okay, so you and Ro, you're Ro. That other person's Anna. And then there's Kevin. He wants to talk about the football games, by the way. I suppose you do, too.
I do, too. I have thoughts on that I'm not particularly happy or fond of at the moment. I don't wish to talk about the fact that every single kick by every single kicker was exactly down the middle very long distances.
It looks very simple when they do it. Okay, stay right there, Rokan. Or actually, run down the hall, go near the studio.
Okay,
I'll talk to you in a minute. There goes Rokan.